Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48. It's from the New International Version. Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked."
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Benjamin, and your orchestra. Good to have you all back with us. Thank you. This morning we meet Phil Collins, a meteorologist from a station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's neurotic, self-absorbed. He's a narcissist. He dreams of a bigger and better job, waiting for him out there somewhere, but likes to blame his lot in life on other people and other circumstances beyond his control. If only things would work out right, he would have what he deserves. Well, adding insult to injury, he's assigned TV coverage of the annual celebration known as Groundhog Day, north of Pittsburgh in the little village of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. So he goes up there begrudgingly, and he does that coverage, tries to get out of town as fast as he can because he doesn't want to be there, he doesn't deserve to be there, but he is prevented from leaving by a winter blizzard. Stuck in town, he retires to his bread and breakfast where he is staying for the night, and when he wakes up in the morning, surprise, it's Groundhog Day again. My, my, my. All over again. In fact, every morning thereafter, he wakes up and hears the same old broadcast on the radio. He can't get out of town, and he can't get out of Groundhog Day. And the radio broadcast sounds like this. "Okay, campers, rise and shine. It's Groundhog Day." Well, after he realizes that he's stuck in Punxsutawney, he becomes even more self-absorbed than normal. It is revealed in a scene where he delivers the quote that you see in the bulletin this morning. I'm going to have you consult that and read it with me. One of those great quotes that comes out of a great movie. So under the meditation, a quote from Phil Connors, who is played by none other than Bill Murray. "What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same, and nothing that you did mattered?" So what does Phil do? Well, he becomes a prodigal. We like to say wine, women, and song. It doesn't matter. He can even die. But next morning he wakes up there in Punxsutawney on Groundhog Day. He can eat a barrel. He can eat a wheelbarrow load of donuts, but wake up the next day having not a sight of another calorie on his body. Wakes up again, same weight, same person, same day, does his coverage, can't get out of town because of the snowstorm, goes back to the B&B, wakes up again at the same old place, the same old day, Groundhog Day. He's living life like there's no tomorrow because there is none. So the question is, what would we do if there were no consequences for what we did, and the next day was a clean slate, do anything you want, and the next day it starts all over again, clean slate. Would we be given to prodigality, which is to say, I'm going to do whatever I want and enjoy myself because it really doesn't matter? Imagine, what would you do and wouldn't it be great? Well, so asks the unfaithful steward in the parable that Mike read a few moments ago. This steward or manager or slave or servant, whatever you want to call him, is assigned to look over the master's property while the master is away. But the steward doesn't really want to do it and believes that as day after day after day goes by, that maybe he's not coming back. So I'm going to live life to the fullest. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to live like there's no tomorrow. So you see, Phil Collins and this steward are kind of in the same sort of scenario. They are not taking responsibility for their lives, and that is their fatal flaw. The real key to success in so many areas of life is, in fact, taking responsibility, whether it's in the business world, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in church life. If we don't take responsibility for what happens in these areas of our lives, we become bystanders, just watching life go by, enjoying what we can, and forgetting about tomorrow. But when we do take responsibility, something magical happens, and that is that we take ownership of our lives, unlike the unfaithful servant in the parable just read. Success or failure in life depends upon attitude more than ability. So says William James, the famous educator. Success or failure depends more upon attitude than aptitude or capacity. Now, we like to put the cart before the horse. I'll have a better attitude the moment that better things happen to me. Then I will change my attitude. And actually, the opposite is true. We change our attitude first. We take responsibility for the life that is in front of us, the day that is in front of us. We don't cop out. We don't make excuses. We take ownership, and then things happen. We don't wait for things to happen to change our attitude. Lori and I have become enthralled by a documentary series that we have found on the Roku channel. If you pick it up, I recommend it. It's called The Apollo Chronicles. It's about our country's race to the moon in the 1960s. The challenge of John F. Kennedy at the beginning of the 60s was to put a person on the moon by the end of the decade, and that happened in 1969. At the time that Kennedy made that promise or that goal, no American had even been to space, period, much less to the moon. First came the Mercury Project, if you remember that. Finally got some folks up there, Walter Schirra and then John Glenn. Then the Gemini series, we finally learned some maneuvers that had to be made that would be necessary to go for the moon. Then the Apollo program came. It was unveiled with great fanfare. And Apollo 1, tragedy. I remember watching that. I remember watching the TV coverage of that. And on the launch pad during a simulation, a fire took over and asphyxiated all three astronauts and delayed the Apollo program for 2 full years. What followed was doubt. Many people thought we shouldn't do anything more. We should cancel the program, spend the money on something else. What allowed the program to continue and thus allowed us to reach the moon was a change in attitude that I'm talking about at NASA. Gene Kranz, the mission flight director, gave this speech shortly after the tragedy. This is what he said. From this day forward, flight control will be known by two words, tough and competent. Tough means we are forever accountable for what we do or what we fail to do. We will never again compromise our responsibilities. Competent means we will never take anything for granted. When you leave this meeting today, he continued, you will go to your office and the first thing you will do there is to write tough and competent on your blackboards. It will never be erased, Each day when you enter the room, these words will remind you of the price paid by the three astronauts, Grissom, White, and Chaffee. These words are the price of admission to the ranks of Mission Control. It was that change in attitude, taking responsibility, taking ownership of the program, that allowed us to recover from that tragedy. The attitude of accountability. Would that every business, every church, every person would have that attitude as they approached each new day. I will not blame anything on anybody. I will take personal responsibility. And if something fails, it'll be my responsibility to change that. Last week, we began our mission emphasis. It's something that we do here yearly. It's a three-Sunday-in-a-row emphasis. Today is the second of three Sundays in our mission focus. And what we do during this time, orchestra partially conceals that, but next Sunday it'll be open. But you can still get to it after the service today. We have tables featuring our 17 mission and ministry opportunities that we do here at St. Lucas United Church of Christ. We don't work on committees anymore. We have mission teams, and people voluntarily sign up, and you're welcome to do that. There is a description of all of the mission items that we do in your bulletin. It's a rather large document, but you're welcome to take it, read it, and if you'd like to volunteer, certainly sign up after the service today. But that is our way of taking ownership of the mission and ministry that God has given us here in the Jacobsville community of the greater Evansville area. Our service to others, to our community, is what makes us who we are. And by service, I don't mean what we're doing now, a worship service, although that's important too. The main thing about our congregation is that we serve our community, and these are ways that we do it, because we have said to ourselves, we will not blame our situation on anybody, that we will take personal responsibility for the health and welfare of our community. We will do what we can to stand behind the people of this community and the services it provides. It is the service that we render to others that makes us a community of Jesus' disciples. It is not worship that makes us disciples. It is service that makes us disciples of Jesus. Signing up for one or more of our ministry opportunities is our way of declaring that we will take personal responsibility for our service to this community. We will not be passive observers. We will not let others do the ministry that God has called us to do, and we will not complain when something isn't being done. We will take ownership of this enterprise, and we will attempt great things for God. And as we do, we will expect great things from God because of our commitment to service above all else. Well, the servant in the parable never got it. The manager came back. Or the master came back, the owner of the property and the household came back, didn't like what he saw, and of course the servant was punished. But going back to our famous film, Groundhog Day, Phil did get it. And that's the wonderful thing about this movie. It's like just a wonderful tale of someone coming to know themselves better. Phil finally got it. Phil finally got it. And what caused him to get it was a girl. Yes, he loved this one woman so much. He couldn't get the girl of his dreams until he threw away his attitude and gained a new one. He couldn't get her until he decided that he would take responsibility for his own life instead of playing it. And when he did, when he treated her as an equally valid human being and not a sexual object, it happened. And the next day he woke up, and a new day had dawned. It was now February the 3rd, and it was the day after Groundhog Day, because he took responsibility for his own life. Only when we start to love others as much as we love ourselves, only when we serve others as much as we serve ourselves, only when we accept our responsibility and take ownership of our mission, only then do we become faithful servants of God that God can and will use to heal a hurting world. It is up to us, first and last. Amen and amen.